we fail to learn the things that God wants us to learn, or we forget. And all throughout the scriptures, God reminded his people, don't forget the lesson you learned. Write it down. That's one of the reasons why I journal. I have a notebook, and I write down all that God's done. And I was telling our leaders, when I began to think and go through the whole year of all that God did, I was just overwhelmed. In the midst of a pandemic, he's still good. Come on, look at somebody. He's still good. He's still good. And I want to just give you a little. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he starts out saying, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness. Many people would describe the year 2020 as a wilderness year. A wilderness is often a time of testing, a time of uncertainty, certainly a time of trials. But I've learned in my almost 59 plus years of living that it's in our times of testing we learn sometimes our greatest lessons. It's sometimes in the hard time that we learn our greatest lessons. The reason we can shout on the mountain is because we first been in the valley. And I've learned that God, he's not just the God of the mountaintop, but he's the God of the valley. And he said, when you go through the valley, I'll still be with you. Aren't you glad he's with us in the valley? I love the mountaintop, but I'm glad we have a God who walks with us in the valley. And so I want to just share with you these lessons that I've learned as I was often thinking over the year. The first lesson I learned in 2020 is that God alone is the master of our destiny. We could say it this way. In other words, we can make the best plan, but ultimately, how many know God's purpose is going to prevail? In other words, you know, I don't care how much you think you all that. How many know, you know, we sometimes forget that he's still God. And God reminded us in 2020, I don't know about you, how many had plans when you started the new year? You had dreams, you might have was going to travel here, you wanted to do this. And God has a way of shutting everything down to remind us. How many know he's still God? Come on. And sometimes we forget that he is still in control. In chapter 4, begin at verses 13, he said, look here, you say today or tomorrow we are going to go to a certain town. And we will stay there a year, and we will do business, and we will make a profit. Listen to what he said. How do you know what you're, I'm sorry, we'll make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is a morning fog. It is here for a little while, then it is gone. What you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, if the Lord wants us to do, we will live and do this and that. And I believe that all over, one of the lessons that I learned in 2020 is that we can't take God for granted. That God will allow things to, he will upset our plans and shut down everything. Entertainment, workplaces, and remind you, listen, you still need me. Anybody came to a fresh awareness, he's still me. And how many have discovered that he's enough? Miss Arvell shared this morning with some of the lessons I was asking some of our people who met for prayer. What are some of the lessons you learned in 2020? And she said, I learned that God is still, he's enough. How many are glad he's enough? Come on, when they close every workplace, when they shut down every business, when everything is gone, how many have discovered that God is still enough? Come on, let's thank God that he's still enough. Come on, he's a good God. But God will remind us that, you know what, that how foolish it is to make plans and not consult him. And sometimes it's the pride of man that causes us to think that we're that and we can make plans and our destiny is in our hand. But how many of you realize that our destiny is not in our own hand? Our destiny is ultimately in the hand of the Lord. I was reading this article. This person who wrote, his name was Napoleon Hill. He was an American author, and he wrote in a book, How to Grow Rich and How to Think and Grow Rich. Literally say, you are the master of your destiny. You can influence and direct and control your own environment. You can make your life what you want it to be. How many know he discovered that we don't control our environment. We can't even control the breath we have from one day to another. And one of the things I've learned is that not only that, that every breath is just a gift of God. This past Tuesday, I did the memorial service for a lady who used to attend here. She was 60 years old. She was just 11 months older than me. Life is a gift. Health is a gift. That, you know what, your life is just a breath. Isn't it sometimes we take it for granted? And I'm telling you, I've learned to appreciate every day. When I'm able to get up and I feel the ground under my feet, thank you, Jesus. Oh, another day, come on. This is the day the Lord has made. I've learned not to take any day for granted. When we've had more than a third of a million people who've passed away this year, we need to recognize that God, that every day is a gift from you, and that we need to not take it for granted, and that God, our destiny is in your hand. With so many people who have in health and issues, I've learned to just be grateful for the little things. And not to presume upon God. And you know, sometimes we can take things and take it for granted. We can take tomorrow for granted. But do you realize we're not promised tomorrow? And so therefore, we cannot take tomorrow for granted. He says to you who say, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this and that. How many know every plan that I had was all of a sudden just put on hold? Anybody had plans and all of a sudden everything was put on hold? God was reminding us that he's God and we're not, and that he alone is control of our destiny. And so listen what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 19:21. You can make many plans, but it's the Lord's purposes that will prevail. And so I don't know about you, it caused me to realize how much I need him afresh. It caused me to realize that how I need to seek him as never before. And so what is my response? Not only that I learned, but you know, every year we start out the new year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, because I've discovered as never before how important it is not to hear what CNN is saying, not to hear what MSNBC or Fox or any. I need to hear what thus saith the Lord is saying. And the way we do that is by spending time with God. How many know nobody could have predicted the pandemic, but how many know God knew all about it? And how many know that's what the good things about the Lord is, that you know what, God not only know our present, he also know our future. And if we will spend time with him, how many know he will let us know, he will direct us, and he will direct the course of our lives. And so 2020 gave me a fresh appreciation that God, my destiny is in your hand. That Lord, my life belongs to you. That God, that the length of my days, he knows the number of my days. The Bible says he knows every day, and he counted them before I was born. Aren't you glad that God is in control? And so I'm so glad that I'm still here. I've learned I'm not going to take it for granted, but I'm grateful that I'm here for another day. Come on, let's thank God for another day. Amen. The fact that you was able to get up to come to church this morning, you ought to give God some praise, right? A whole lot of people couldn't come to church, but you came to church this morning. The second thing a lesson that I was learning, Geraldine said it so well, I learned that families are our greatest treasure. Wasn't it wonderful to see in the height of the pandemic, when everybody was quarantined or had to stay at home, families walking together and riding bikes? Do you realize you couldn't buy a bicycle nowhere here, local or in the city, because everybody had bought up everybody, because families learned to appreciate and come back together once again. And I want to tell you that pandemics has a way of reminding us that to have a family is a gift from God. The Bible tells us that it's not good for people to be alone. And I can tell you a whole lot of people realize that for a whole lot of people, the pandemic was very difficult, and it made us realize how important relationships are. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:22 that a man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. If you have a treasure, you need to give God a shout right now. I didn't hear too many. I say, if you got a treasure, you need to give God a shout right now. Some of the wives say, you better shout. But the reality is that we can take certain things for granted. The Bible tells that children are the gift of the Lord. They must be protected and their reward. But like treasures, how many know they must be protected? They must be cared for. I say that not only have we realized that families are treasure, but that they deserve our time and our investment. Unfortunately, for many people, this year was a very difficult and a trying year, because sometimes when we neglect our homes and we neglect our families, we begin to realize that when we're forced to be in the same home for long periods of time, we begin to see our own lack and our own need. I said it recently, unfortunately, America is a country that's materially rich but relationally poor. We've often sought after things to the neglect of our own homes, our own families, and our own children. And I believe that God was wanting to once again remind us what's the real riches in life is not the car you drive. It's not the house you live in. A house becomes awfully empty when there's no one to share it with. The real riches in life is the people that God brings in our lives. And it has given me a fresh commitment to seeing families be healthy and whole. We got to fight for our families. We got to be like in Nehemiah chapter 4, where Nehemiah challenged, you see the distress, the trouble we in, and he says, fight for your family, fight for your brother, fight for your sister, fight for your husband, fight for your wife. How many know there's some things worth fighting for? And I believe that families are worth fighting for. If you believe that, come on, let's give God a prayer. How many know it's worth fighting for? And we were reminded how important it is that the real joys in life, when they shut down every store, wasn't it wonderful to be able to spend time together as a family? Many families have been forced to come together. We couldn't meet with others. We couldn't get outside of others. But yet, God has a way, and there's real allowing those things to teach us what is the true riches in life. And those real riches in life is people. It's not things. It's not material possessions. It's really people that God placed in our lives. One of the things I said early on during this, I did a series at the beginning, early on in the pandemic, is how to call relational survival in a coronavirus world. How to make our relationships survive. And the reason, if your relationships are going to survive, you got to build it on a rock. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the stream rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the crash. You know, I've learned that in America, again, if we want our families to survive, we have to build them on the rock. We got to take heed to God's word. I believe still that a family that prays together, stay together. I want to encourage every one of you, make it a point as a family that you're going to pray together. Can you say pray together? I believe that when we pray together, God intervenes. God will make up the lack. You know, I mean, you got to understand, my wife and I is as different as oil and water. If it had not been for the Lord, how many know, we would never have made it. But we realize that because we've invited God in the mix. See, because if you don't have God, you'll allow your differences to become a source of conflict rather than a source of appreciating one another's difference. Her strengths make up for my weaknesses, and my weaknesses and my strengths make up for her weakness. We complement one another. But when we don't have God in the mix, we use our differences become a source of conflict and fighting and division. And so we have learned that, listen, we need God. We got to have God in the mix. My wife and I will tell you that if it had not been for the Lord, come on, where would we be? We would have never made it. Anybody beside me realize if it had not been for the Lord? Anybody thankful that God brought you through? Anybody grateful that God kept you? And one of the things that if you're gonna experience the way God intended family, but when we pray to learn how to get God involved in your family, I believe that truly when we pray together, God comes down. One of many people were experiencing worry and anxiety, but the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. One of the good things that has came out as a result of the pandemic is that it's caused more people to pray than ever before. It has caused more people to seek after God than ever before. Could you imagine that? Listen, every Saturday morning, we have about 150 to 200 people that gather online to pray together. Before the pandemic, that I don't think that was possible. But how many know God has a way of doing things? God has a way of bringing things about, and God, people are seeing their need for God. And I believe that as a result, God is doing some things. Geraldine said God is bringing families together. God is healing. God is working some things out. Slim, don't get up when your wife saying amen. I'm just messing with you. I'd have preached so hard, I'd have run the husband out. That's all right. I'm just saying. I could joke with Slim like that. He could handle it. Yeah. But listen to what he said, don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, in the peace of God that pass all understanding. You know, we wouldn't have made it had it not been for us praying together. The first part of that quarantine, when we were forced to be at home, boy, we found ourselves fighting and arguing and getting upset with one another. Anybody beside me has some challenges. But I want to tell you, when we started praying together, God intervened. Thank God for the Lord. Come on, let's just thank God that he comes and intervenes. I want to share a third lesson I learned as a result of this pandemic. I said, number one, I learned that, you know what, God is control. He's the master of our destiny. Number two, that families are our greatest treasure. Number three, you know what, racial reconciliation is hard work, but it's worth it. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He's united Jews and Gentiles into one people with his own body on the cross, and he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he's given us the wonderful message of reconciliation. You know, when we saw the terrible death of George Floyd, as so many witnessed tragedy, I can't breathe, and all of America saw this tragedy, once again we were reminded again how we can be so divided racially, socially, and economically. And one of the things I'm reminded is that Jesus died to tear down the walls of hostility and to bring us together. The devil hates unity. I'm going to say it again. I'm saying talk because sadly, many of the people, you know, immediately there was talks of reconciliation. There was talks of how can we work things together. But, you know, then came the election and we found ourselves as divided as before. But I want to tell you, listen, reconciliation is still God's idea. There's not going to be a black heaven, a white heaven, an Asian heaven, an Hispanic heaven. The Bible says in heaven there's going to be people from every tribe, every kindred, every tongue around the throne of God. And if it's going to be that way in heaven, how many know God desires it to be that way on earth? Somebody say amen. And so I believe it's worth working at, and it's worth working for. And I've purposed, one of the things that I've made a decision and I've learned, that reconciliation is hard work. It's easy to live with our walls up. It's easy to hold on to our unforgiveness and our resentment. It's easy to only be with people who look like you and act like, but it takes intentionality to build bridges with people who are different from you. And I want to tell you, one of the things that I'm so grateful that as a result of this pandemic and this year, that God has brought people in my life. Yesterday, I had a wonderful conversation, an older white lady who, she's become a friend of mine through this. And I had a chance to share my testimony with her and how what Jesus has done in my life. And she has been so touched by what God has done in my life and hearing, because we shared both similar background. And she was so glad to hear, and I believe that she's going to eventually be here, a member of this church. But it's been amazing how God has brought people together. And one of the things that it takes work, sometimes the reason why we have walls is because simply we don't understand one another. We ignorant of one another. It takes work to sit down together and break bread with people who are different from you. But I want to say again, it's your for what Paul said, and here's become almost my scripture for the year. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. He says, "To the Jew I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I as to win those under the law." Listen, "to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so that I can win those who do not have the law." Listen, "to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." Listen what the Message Bible says. "To the defeated, to the demoralized, whoever it is, I didn't take on that way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ." Listen, "but I entered their world. I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet to a God-saved life." I want to tell you that one of the things God did in 2020, God has given me a greater love for people that I couldn't love before. I have learned, I'm so grateful. There are people today, Mark, that I wouldn't have loved before the year, but God has given me a compassion and a love for people that I wouldn't have loved before. You know, one of the reasons why is because I've learned that sometimes we think we know people until we know their story. And I've learned, when I've listened to people long enough to hear their story, it gives me a certain empathy. It gives me a certain understanding. And it gives me a willingness to want to reach out to them. And it's not just racial. It's in every area. There were people that I would have never embraced that I found myself embracing in 2020. And so I'm so glad in a divided world, God is raising up a united church. Somebody give God some praise. Listen, I'm committed. Let me just tell you, it didn't happen overnight. and we got some ways to go. But I'm telling you, God is working. God is working behind the scenes, whether you see it or not. God is pulling down walls. There are people who are tuning in from different races who would have never walked in the aisles of this church. But let me just say, God has a way of tearing down walls and causing people to see, well, you know what? They're not so different from us. And we begin to see the same thing. And God has a way of pulling down walls so that we can begin to see, listen, in Christ, we're one. I say in Christ, the walls have been torn down. In Christ, you are my brother. If I'm going to spend all of heaven with you, I might as well learn how to love you here. Can I have an amen? And I'm telling you, one of the lessons I've learned is that, listen, it is hard work, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Look at somebody and say, it's worth it. And I want to challenge you, listen, in our divided world, one of the greatest witnesses to a divided world is a united church. I just finished reading the book of 1 John. John is that apostle of love. And John, in these words, convict, he said, how can you say you love God who you can't see and don't love your brother? He used the word, and hate your brother who you can see. You know, unfortunately, sadly, this pandemic also revealed a lot of hate. It revealed a lot of people has a lot of hate politically, racially, economically. But I want you to know that if we're going to go to, if you're going to love, if you're going to learn to be like God, if you're going to learn to say, I love God, then you got to love who God loves, and God loves people. And he loves people of every race, every kindred, every tribe, and every tongue. And I want you to know, he loves people that is completely different from you. And in the midst of a divided world, I'm more committed than ever before to be a united church. Somebody say amen. And this is the last lesson. I've had so many lessons I've learned, but this is one was I could shout to the rest of the rest of this service, but here's this last lesson. I've learned that whatever God allows, he redeems. Let me help y'all understand it. The pandemic was a bad thing. 330,000 people dying has been a terrible thing. Millions of people being out of work has certainly been a bad thing. Terrible thing. So many businesses closing. It's certainly been a terrible thing in our nation. But I want you to know that God is still in control, and that whatever God allows, he redeems. I'm going to share. The Bible says in Romans 8:28. This is, let me say, first of all, how many of you love God? Raise your hand. How many of you love him? How many of you love him? If you really love him, raise both hands. How many of you really love God? Come on, how many of you? Now listen, his promise. This is God's promise to you and I. That's why I've seen throughout this year that this has been an amazing year. In spite of the challenges, listen what it says in Romans 8:28. And we think. Is that what your Bible say? What does it say? Put it up there. And we hope. And we wish. What does it say? And we know. Listen to what he say. This is what we can know. I want to say to every person who's gone through a difficult time, who may have had some hardship, who may have lost a loved one, who may have lost a job, who may have been, man, saying, God, this was a hard year, whose relationship may be on the brink. Listen to what God say. And we know that in all things, in the pandemics, in the storms, in the fires, in the flood, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Did you hear that? I don't care what happened in this year, God is still working. I don't care what it looked like, he's not just working, but he's working it for our good and his glory. And I'm telling you, in the midst of all the storms, the pandemic, the racial unrest, the political division, the unstable economy. I want you to, with church buildings closing, with people losing their job, in the midst of it, God is still at work. And I want you to know, I'm just going to tell you that in the midst of it, God was working, because right now, more people, the people who have Bible apps said that more people are reading the Bible than ever before, exponentially. More people are praying than ever before. We are reaching more people than we ever thought possible. Let me just tell you, more people, in the midst of the worst situation, God is working it for our good. God has a way of turning things around. In the midst of it, God brought, come on, let's thank God, because he's a good God. Let me just say, he reminds us that his promises are still true. And I don't care. This is what Joseph said to his brothers. He says, you intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I stand here on this last Sunday and I prophesy to every one of you. I told you all throughout this pandemic, it's too big for God to waste. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord that what the enemy meant for bad, God is turning it around. And he's going to work it for our good and his glory. I'm telling you, we're going to look back. Some of you are going to say, my God, I didn't realize when I didn't see it, but he was working. I like that song. Even when you can't feel it, he's working. When I can't see it, he's working. He never stopped working. I want you to know, in the God we serve, he's working behind the scenes to bring about his will. That's why I'm telling you, God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God is moving. I'm telling you, I don't believe we're going into the new year without seeing a sign that there's a spiritual awakening is coming. God can sometimes shake everything that can be shaken, so that only that which cannot be shaken will remain. God, how many know 2020 was a year of shaking? But how many know there's some things that did not shake? How many know God was not moved? The kingdom of God did not shake, because we are standing, we are part of a kingdom that cannot be moved. And I want you to know that whether you realize it or not, God was working in 2020 to work everything together for your good and his glory. And that may have been some bad situations, but I'm telling you, God is still good. And he's working it all out for our good. And I begin to go through my journal, and I begin to see the answered prayer. I begin to see the people who I would have never thought, never had conversations about the Lord with. Today, I'm having conversations with. How did that happen? Because God said, the devil may have meant it for bad, but I'm working it for my good. I'm using it to bring other people to Christ. I'm using it to draw people who would have never come to church, people who would have never tuned in are now tuning in. Let's give God some praise for working it all out. I'm telling you, he's doing it. He's working it out. And as I close, listen, there's so many lessons I've learned. But I just wanted to let you know this morning that whatever God allowed in your life, he will redeem it. If you love him, to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, this is his promise. You don't have to think it. You don't have to hope it. God can take tragedy and he can turn it around and he can work it for our good. And that's what I've learned about the Lord, that God can take the most painful, the most disappointing, the thing that the world would have said, man, I don't understand why that happened. But God has a way, because he's God. He can take the worst situation and he can work it for our good. He's not can, he's doing it. And I want you to know, going into this new year, this is the last Sunday of this year, you don't have to wonder, you don't have to hope, you don't have to wish. You can know. Say, I know. You can know that God is working all things together for good, for our good and his glory because we love him. Let's just thank God that he's working it for our good. Come on. Come on. Don't patty cake. Come on. Let's thank him right now. God, I thank you. Come on. As we prepare to close, God, I thank you that, Lord, that in spite of what has happened in 2020, God, you are working it for my good. God, you are working in my life. God, you are working in our home. God, every situation, God, you have a way. When we love you, that's why he's worth seeking after. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. When you put him first, when you make him the priority of your life, God gives us a promise. We don't have to hope it. We don't have to wish it. We don't have to wonder. He said, I know all things are working together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so, Father, we want to thank you for 2020. We want to thank you that you're God in the midst of the pandemic. We want to thank you that, Lord, in the midst of, Lord, the tragedy, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fires, in the midst of the flood, God, in the midst of the unrest, in the midst of the division, God, you're still God. And because you're God, you're working things out together for good. Even the bad things, Lord God, they're working it for our good. God, even the things that we weren't even aware, God, you're bringing it about for our good and your glory. And God, we thank you for what you've done. And so, Lord, if you're just grateful this morning for 2020, you're grateful that he's protected you, he kept you, he's working in your hand, just stand on your feet and just give him some thank right now. Just let him know, God, I'm grateful for you. God, I love you. Come on. God, I praise you. Come on, God. I thank you that, Lord, even when I don't understand it, you're working it for my good. There's been so many breakthroughs in spite of everything. Do you realize that? Listen, I wrote down, that's why it's good to write down lessons. God allowed more than 1 million pounds of food to come through us out to our community. God allowed us to bless. Listen, how would we would have been able to pray for and bless every high school graduate in 2020? But because of a pandemic, God allowed us the things to shut down and brought every graduate right here on our campus. Come on, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Only God can do that. God can do things that we could never imagine. He don't work the way we work. He don't think the way we think. And God knows just how to get people's attention. And if you're here on this last Sunday, this new year, I want to pray. And I know that for some, it's been a year of loss, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a family member. I want to say to you as a pastor, my heart goes out to you. My prayers go out to you. For those of you that may have, for some it was devastating. For those who were in the brunt of Hurricane Sally and Iota and Eta, and their whole homes were destroyed. It was a difficult time. But this is what I want to remind you, even in the hard times, in the difficult times, it did not change who God is. And because he's God, he's promised that if you love him, that he will take our greatest pain and he will turn it around, he will work it for our good and his glory. And so, Father, I pray for everyone who may have, this was a hard and a painful year, and a year of loss, a year, Lord God, of great pain, a year of hurt. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would even today remind them that though the circumstances are not fair, God, you're always fair. That God, though life may bring us all kinds of hardship, God, it doesn't change who you are. You're still good. And God, because you're good, I thank you, Lord, that we can praise you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pandemic, because we know that you're working it for our good. It only works that way if you love the Lord. If you put him first. For some college students, universities would close down. For some, your job opportunity would close down. For some, this happened. But listen to me. If you'll put your life in the hand of the Lord and you say, God, I choose to trust you. I choose to love you. I choose to put you first. Then I can promise you that God will turn it around and he will work it for your good. Now, Lord, I just pray on this last Sunday for that person who may have never put their trust in you. I pray that today, Lord, that they will make a decision to put their trust in Jesus Christ. It starts by just inviting him into your heart and saying, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be my master. You are the master of my destiny. Thank you that remind me you are the reason I have breath to breathe. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I just pray right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you peace. God, we thank you for another year. We thank you for every lesson that was learned. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, let's thank you.